We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, guys,
time.
Are you ready for rapid fire?
Let's go.
Time.
Let's
I think
go.
We're going to have a live one tonight. I think we're going to have a live one. Let's see how this goes. Okay. So, Dolgakovic's Instagram comments before the game Saturday.
Just jumping right in.
Blue, that's we are. We are jumping right in. We are going for it. I'm going to read them so that everyone, you know, like if you haven't heard them, you haven't seen them, whatever, I'm going to read them. So bear with me here for a minute. We want to hear everything, right? We want to get the whole story. Quote, this is from Phil Dracovic on his Instagram Saturday before the Notre Dame-Boston College game. Quote, I always really liked Notre Dame football, despite most of my family having no affiliation or affection for the school. I turned down some great opportunities in order to fulfill my childhood dream of playing on the team, and I thank everyone who helped to make that happen. Good fortune allowed me to meet some incredible people while there, players, coaches, professors, priests, etc. Notre Dame has been a tremendous force for good in the world, and it will continue this excellence because of its good people. Some derogatory comments have come out in the media in regards to my perspective on the place, and I'd like to clarify. Notre Dame holds some of the highest ideals, and these are very difficult to live up to. I don't think the institution practices its stated virtues in all aspects of campus, but I urge it to do so because I think it can be better. I wish many of those I met much success. Anyone close to me knows how badly I'd love to play this game, but I am currently recovering from a diagnosed concussion, broken rib, and sprained MCL. He continues, as it relates to Boston College, and for some reason that's in quotations, oh, as it relates. Do you know what that means?
100%.
Okay. All right.
I'll save it.
Save it. I'll let you answer that here in a second. As it relates to Boston College, even amid a most difficult year, I have never been more proud to represent the school. The adversity we faced has molded and strengthened me. We're primed for success, and it will come soon to the heights on Eagles' wings. Although it's been a famine of a season, we should know that it brings no fear. Let's remember that Boston College was founded for and by Irish immigrants. Notre Dame de Lac was founded by the French, something they teach you in first year Moreau. The Dropkick Murphys were started in Boston, and their song For Boston is our fight song. They sing, I'm shipping up to Boston, and definitely not I'm shipping up to South Bend. So if you're in that stadium and you cheer when that song comes on before kickoff, know that you are either rooting for BC or otherwise supporting cultural appropriation. But in the words of Mac, it ain't nothing but a brand name, end quote. So that is from Phil Dracovic from his Instagram statement. Vince, start me off then. So what is the, as it relates, what's the meaning of that?
A very, 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 very common phrase that Brian Kelly would always use. It's a total shot right at Brian Kelly. 100%. He always said that as it relates to this, that was like one of his catchphrases.
Okay.
That he would always, so that's a shot at Brian Kelly.
I was going to say the one I remember the most is just look, like he would start a sentence off with look, we're going to do, you know, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, as he said that a lot.
Again, I mean, the man is not here anymore.
Right. 100%.
I'm just saying that's what go to Jesse. Vince, start and go to Jesse. Go ahead. So tell me what you think, boys.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, so the first paragraph, the first part that you read, you know what? That's fine. You want to get that out. It's your Instagram page. You go right ahead, whatever. The only problem I have with that part is you did the exact same thing this summer when he had that article out and the whole thing, you know, got it off his chest, you know, whatever. He did that already. So, but whatever. The first paragraph's fine. The second paragraph, I felt like he wrote the first paragraph and then came back to the second paragraph after a hard night of partying or something. Because it just didn't make a whole lot of sense. And obviously, I'm joking around a little bit, but at the same time, like the cultural appropriation thing with the music and all of that, like, what are you even talking about? Like, it doesn't, because you play a song, you have to be that nationality? Like,
right.
That doesn't make any sense to me at all. So the second paragraph was weird. The first paragraph is how he feels. Okay, and he's not wrong. There's a ton of institutions out there that claim one thing and they can all do a better job, right? I have no problem with that. Zero.
Right.
Zero problem with that. There's plenty of people at Notre Dame I have a problem with, right? And that's okay. The second paragraph was just weird.
Yeah, I a lot of what Vince said, I agree on. I think that he should have just ended it after the first paragraph. The second paragraph just seemed to be more of a stretch and kind of to prove another point of him. But ultimately, what I'll say is this. It felt like Phil had to get one more shot off, right? He couldn't play. He had to get the final statement in. He knew what was coming to Boston College yesterday. He knew that they were the inferior opponent. Things haven't been going well. And that's what it just felt like. You know, it's like when you're in an argument with someone and someone's always got to kind of get the last word. It felt like Phil was really fighting to get his last word. You know, obviously it brings back a lot of memories, emotions, you know, Boston College coming to Notre Dame. There's just a lot that comes around it. But I like what Vince said. It felt like he wrote the first paragraph and then came back to it like a week later and wrote the second paragraph because he knew he wanted to say something more, but he didn't know how to quite finish.
Yeah. And another thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just, you know, and the whole, like to end it on the words cultural appropriation, I thought that was a very, very big stretch. I was like, come on, man. Like really that's how you're going to, you know, sum up this whole thing is that it's cultural appropriation. If you cheer for Notre Dame inside, because they're technically playing a Boston College song inside Notre Dame Stadium. Like, you know, it felt.
I wonder if they taught him that in first year Moreau as well. Like,
like what actually cultural appropriation is.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It just all felt like a stretch. And again, that he wanted to get the last word because of, you know, things haven't gone right for him. And the end of his career is also kind of not ending how it wants
See,
to.
And this is where we are. And like, Here's what I remember about the start of his career, like for starters. Do you remember his first spring, Vince, when he played in the blue-gold game and, You know, he was sacked all those times in the blue gold game because the, you know, the rules of the game were he had to, you know, they wanted him to stay in the pocket. They didn't want him running. And it was like two hand touch to sack the quarterback. And I was there when he talked to the media afterwards, and he was literally despondent. He was just broken down because poor Phil Djurkovic wasn't allowed to play his game. Like, they changed the rules, and Phil Djurkovic, you know, it was just a bad day for Phil. He literally looked like he wanted to cry sitting there. And as an 18-year-old, okay, you're 18 years old. You're just out of high school. I get it. You've got all this ability. You want to show your stuff, whatever. You know, it wasn't because he had a bad game, though. It was because they tweaked the rules of the game, and it didn't suit his skills, which means it didn't suit Phil Djurkovic. Again, 5 years ago, I guess, almost at this point. So, okay, whatever. But then, of course, he transfers after 2 years, which is fine. A lot of guys transfer. You know, there's stuff that happened behind the scenes that you know, not everybody knows about. I get that. You know, things happened, but he moves on. But, you know, like Joe Burrow went to LSU. He wasn't throwing stones at Ohio State. He just, you know, won a national championship, won a Heisman, smoked a cigar, did his walk-off, and he's in the NFL. You know, it's like, let your play do the talking, Phil. You shouldn't need to do this at this point. We get it. You're hurt. But, you know, and that's the thing, really, is it's like he's hurt and he wants to lash out once again. You know, he airs it out over the summer in the newspaper article. It's his right.
Right. Yep.
He did it. I had no problem with it. You know, very rarely do you see college kids actually – come out and actually say something. Everyone
and get an opportunity, you know, yeah. Get an opportunity. Right. I mean, he was rolled out the red carpet on this one, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like a case of unrequited love. It seems like it's like he loved Notre Dame. Notre Dame just didn't love him enough back, you know? And obviously Brian Kelly didn't love him enough back, because if that's the shot, and I didn't even pick up on that at first, but that's the shot at Brian Kelly. He's still taking shots at Brian Kelly, who's at LSU now. Like, who is your grudge with? Who's your beef against? That's right. What I don't get, you know? And then, like, you read the stuff about, you know, the Irish founding Boston College and the French founding Notre Dame. Well, thanks for the history lesson, Phil, I guess. It's like, to me, it's like the whole thing, you know, he talks about the virtues and you know, just like what you said, Vince, it doesn't matter what school, what company, what corporation, like the farther you go in life, there's always going to be somebody or something that represents themselves as one thing.
Always.
But then the deeper you look, it's not quite, you know, that same thing. And that's it. Just Phil just hasn't come to grips with this. It seems like someone just needs to put their arm around him and say, look, I love you, kid. It's time to move on. You know, like the, you know, it's like he needs the Robin Williams treatment. It's not your fault, Phil, it's not your fault. You know, now go see about a girl someplace. You know, that's well what done. It comes down to. And like the cultural appropriation thing with the song, like, you know, did Notre Dame also culturally appropriate, and the rest of the sports world basically culturally appropriate the Seven Nations Army thing because the white stripes are from Detroit? You know, like, did the Kansas City Chiefs culturally appropriate Start Me Up by the Rolling Stones because the Stones are from London? Like, people play songs in stadiums. I don't get why. Like, it just feels like a bunch of nanny nanny boo boo stuff. And, you know, he's trying to be the smartest guy in the world, you know, in the room, and like show us, you know, I know better than all of you guys. And it's just it's like, you're a good quarterback, we get it, you're hurt, but you're 23 years old at this point. And just like we said with that newspaper article, he already said what needed to be said. If he had left this at the end of that first paragraph, it's like, take the high road. You know, right. That's what whoever should be telling him. Just take the high road in all of this and move on.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, moral of the story, the man's heart is hurt. And I think that's the biggest point.
Yep, but it's been 3 years. Time's supposed to heal all wounds, man. Let it go.
Right.
Let it go. And the fact, I don't know all the facts, and I don't know the whole story, but his beef is with Brian Kelly. And I know there's some beef with Tommy Rees, right? I mean, there's reasons he left.
But right? Most of it's with Brian Kelly.
He's gone. He's not even there anymore.
Yes. That's what I don't get. That's
brutal.
So Marcus Freeman, after the game, was asked about his team overcoming the bumps in the road that they've had this year. And I'm going to read another quote here. Quote, they're resilient. We've got a lot of resilient group of leaders. And I think I said this to Zara post-game, is that this university attracts resilient people. If you're not a resilient person, you're not going to make it here. And that's something that I've learned in my short time here. This place weeds out non-resilient people, you know, this university. And it even happens in the football program. If you're not a resilient, tough-minded person, this probably won't, at some point, won't be the place for you. And you'll say, hey, I'm going to go somewhere else. But that's what this place, this university attracts, resilient people. And we're fortunate we get to coach great football players that are resilient people. So I think that's a reflection of this university, end quote, from Marcus Freeman. So I'm curious your thoughts on this, guys.
Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah, so when I heard it initially, I didn't think too much of it. But then the more I kind of looked at it and the more I listened to it or read through it a couple of times, it seems like it was very kind of pointed at maybe some of the events that led up to that game. And
that's what I'm thinking as I'm listening to this. But, you know, there's never anything asked about Phil, but it sure sounded like a subtweet toward Phil, right?
I think it checked a lot of different boxes. I think it did, you know, it accomplished that. It accomplishes where they are right now. And I just overall, it just, you have to be a strong-minded person to play at Notre Dame, more so than your athletic ability. And that's kind of what we saw with Phil, is like he didn't have the mental strength to kind of overcome, you know, the physical limitations that he was going through. And whether you want to say that was a direct shot or not, it fits the shoe in that situation. It felt like, you know, Freeman was just saying that we have very strong and resilient players, and that's kind of what's going to separate us from a lot of these other teams, is not only are our guys very athletic, but they're also very smart and very strong-willed and very strong-minded at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't think it had anything to do with Phil personally, because Marcus Freeman wasn't here for Phil Dracovic. It's off his radar, in my opinion. I don't think.
Well, he might not have been here, but the comments came out that morning.
There's only one guy left that was here when he was here. One. And I don't,
that doesn't mean he can't have an opinion on it. You know,
I get it, but I don't think I just think he's got way too many fish to fry to worry about a guy that wasn't even here when he was here that he doesn't even know at all. I think it was pointed at the guys that are currently on his roster, and I think it's pointed at the recruits that are out there. Like, he's sending a message. Like, look, we take a certain kind of guy here. And if, you know, for lack of a better term, as one former LSU coach once said, if you don't have the chest to be here, then we don't need you here. Like, you got to be a certain kind of person to be at the University of Notre Dame, play on our team. So I think it was a message sent to his current team, and then future recruits coming to his team.
Yeah, I just look at this place weeds out non-resilient people.
I mean, it could have been a veiled shot.
You're not a resilient, tough-minded person. This probably won't be the place for you, and you'll say, hey, I'm going to go someplace else.
It very well could have been a veiled, you know, remark towards the people that have left since he's been there. I just don't think he's going that far back in the machine.
I would say this, like Marcus Freeman, I think, is aware of, you know, we got to remember this guy is 36 years old. So he's grown up more in a social media age than you or I, you know, like he's closer to Jesse. You know, basically he's right between you and Jesse. He's kind of in that, you know, in that center space. He seems very aware of a lot of things. So you're right. Like, he didn't know Phil Dracovic. He wasn't here for Phil Dracovic, but like anybody else who got up in the morning, you know, and saw that Phil Dracovic fired this off the day that Notre Dame and Boston College are playing a football game. Could it be about recruiting as well? I think it could, you know, because he is also a very good recruiter. And he can also know that maybe some of his recruits are on Instagram and probably saw this, you know, like you had former Notre Dame people, yeah, for that matter, commenting on the Dracovic thing, you know. So
it could have very well been a response to that, but maybe not directed at Phil.
Right,
I think that's a good point that you make. Like, he put that out there.
I don't think he was talking to Phil.
Right, exactly.
It was responding potentially to that.
I could get on board with. That part I could get on board with.
Yeah, and that's what, maybe, you know, like when I said the subtweet, like, he wasn't talking directly to Phil, but it was like,
okay, I could see that.
And there were a lot of different things this could mean, but.
Yeah, do you guys think the weather plays into that because of how well that they performed in the cold, the snow? You know, that's resiliency. That's tough-minded stuff. You have to want to play in that stuff. You have to accept that that's what's going to happen. And it just didn't look like they lost a step, right? It looked like that stuff had no phase on their game. So that was another aspect, just kind of sitting here thinking that I think was another maybe way that it could have been, you know, put out there as well.
Could have been, yeah.
Yeah. Fill in the blank, guys. Vince, I'll start with you on this one. Notre Dame's 21 and 31 offensive personnel groups are blank.
What make the world go round, baby. We need to see more of it. We need to see more of it. That is a matchup nightmare for teams against Notre Dame, period. There are not a lot of teams that can go three deep at the running back position and it be a matchup nightmare for defenses. Notre Dame can do that. They need to continue to do that, period.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of piggyback off of Vince a little bit, but 21 and 31 offensive personnel groups are a defense slash linebacker's worst nightmare. It creates, and when you put Tyree out there as a former middle linebacker, the last thing you want to do is see that man wheel out of the backfield, because guess what? That means you have that guy one-on-one, and he is one of the fastest players on the field. And yes, he can catch the ball. He can wheel. He can do, you know, anything that you want. So it is a defensive, and more specifically linebacker matchup nightmare. When you have to, and when these linebackers have to already worry about getting punched in the mouth by the offensive line and the run game, and now you throw in a wrinkle of potentially having to cover a running back out of the backfield one-on-one, it is Notre Dame's most lethal weapon on offense right now, and it needs to be utilized more. I love seeing the 31 personnel package. Seeing all the backs go in different, you know, motions, ways. It's just instant chaos for the defense. It just throws off every single read. And yeah, I just wish that we could, you know, we talk about it every week, but I just wish that we could see more of it, because it is a nightmare matchup nightmare, like Vince said.
Yeah, I can't imagine the look on my face, Vince, when that 31 person, I've got my binoculars and I'm like, 31!
Couldn't even get it out.
There's three backs out there, and then boom, the pass. Tommy Rees is just a playa, man. He is like that girlfriend or that boyfriend who, like, you're on the fence with, you know, are you going to stay? Are you going to go? And then they do something, you know, a little nice thing for you, and they pull you back in, and it's, oh, I just love you, baby. And then, you know, I look back at my game notes, and I see 21 personnel, Diggs for 26 yards. And then it's like your middle school crush just passed you one of those little notes, you know, with the, do you want to go to the dance, check yes or no, you know, thing. And, you know, of course you're going to check yes, because now, you know, you're back in, and the next thing you know, it's 31 personnel and all these running backs are on the field, and not just on the field. It's an offset I formation out of the shotgun, and it's 28 yards, a pass play to Logan Diggs. And it's, you know, again, I'm like bouncing in my chair out there. And then, you know, it's like, I'll go to the Valentine's dance with you, Tina. You know, and the dance was great and the best dance ever. But then the next thing you know, Tommy's back in love with 12 personnel. You know, I get it. It works. It's reliable, all that stuff. But 12 just ain't as sexy as 21, baby. And I don't care how young you were. I'm ready to propose. And, you know, if you keep teasing me with all that, you know, high cut 31 skirt stuff. So, like, just stop dragging my heart around right now. You know, let's go. Let's grab that net and catch that beautiful butterfly. I'm ready to go. Just give me more of it. Inject it right here with the 21 and 31. Like, every time, with very few exceptions, that they do something out of that, it's a big play to one of those running backs. It's just like, you cannot stop it because of what Jesse said. It's a total mismatch.
Yeah, and I think I the only thing that will redeem Tommy in this season and not utilizing it, if he can confidently say, I was saving it for USC, right? Like, this is the game. You're going to pull it out, and you're creating all these matchups, and you're scoring a lot of points, because look how many points USC gave up last week to UCLA. You know, this is the game where you have nothing left. You know, empty the tank. Show me all that you got with 21 and 31 personnel. Show me. You tell me you're this creative guru, show me how creative you can get with 21 and 31, because it is going to give you the best chance in the passing game this week. It is going to give you, for what your offense can do and what Pine can do, it is going to give you your best passing opportunity.
Make them stop it, because who stopped it? The only times that it's been stopped were, you know, again, like they ran that little, like the shovel pass or jets, whatever that was, to Chris Tyree, and it didn't do much. And I think they ran one to Diggs and it didn't do much, but when they throw out of it, especially, it's like boom, right down.
I wish I kept a tracker because I could. I'm almost confident that you could say they average like at least 20 yards per play when they use multiple back sets.
I wouldn't doubt it. The only thing that kills the average is like the 5 yard touchdown to Tyree last week against Navy,
right? Because he had to stop running. Yeah, bad choice. The play was over.
That's right. It's just we keep talking about it. Total mismatch, and I tell you what, man, it's like what are they gonna do? And I guess it's still considered an offset eye, even though the guy's in the shotgun. I don't know if you would call it like pistol with an extra back, or what you would call that. But it's like when I was starting off doing like calling high school games, you would see like offset eye formation type stuff.
Yeah. Was,
like back in the 90s and stuff like that. And it was. You talk about Tommy Reese's imagination. Like that's right. Where it shows.
He can
just eat defenses up with that all day long.
There's no excuse for this week because there was almost 100 points scored in that game. Almost 100 points. Like you've got to be able to score on this USC defense.
Yes.
Okay.
And they're going to score themselves.
Yes. Absolutely. And I've got a lot of faith in Notre Dame's defense, but USC's going to score. So you've got to score more points than them. It is time to unload the playbook, all right? It's time to unload it. I want to see the imagination, okay?
I agree. So with the college football playoff set to expand in the next few years, there's discussion about whether the first round games, will be played on campus host sites in the month of December. Here's what Marcus Freeman said when I asked him about that today.
A team in South Bend, Indiana, for a playoff game, and would be very hopeful that the weather was like last time. That's an advantage for us, I feel.
That's what I said. I said, hey, you just got done playing in that weather. You want to do that again? So Marcus Freeman is all in favor of it. Surprisingly, I've seen stuff on social media, Leah, I think social media, about like people not liking this idea of like especially playing cold weather games in college football playoff games. What do you think, Vince?
All right. So number one, with the way that things are going to go, Notre Dame cannot be in the top four. They cannot get a bye. So if they're in the playoff, they are most likely going to be hosting. Okay. There is no more of a home field advantage if you're in the North than playing at home. Right. And it's not just for Notre Dame. It's anybody in the North.
Ohio State, Wisconsin, whoever it happens,
right?
But yeah,
you want that home field advantage. You want there to be a benefit to you being the higher seed and hosting. Okay, if Notre Dame is not allowed to get a bye, the best they can do is host. I want an advantage if I'm hosting. So, 100%, you have those on campus. Are you kidding me? Why would you want to take Notre Dame's home field advantage and take it to San Diego or Florida or one of these other bowl sites? No way. I don't like that at all. I want those on campus, period.
I think first and foremost, we need to recognize the quality of questions that were thrown out there today. Seems like you were just a question machine up there, getting all your questions in. So
two. Everybody gets two per week. I asked the Buckner question, I asked the playoff question. I felt like they were two solid questions today.
So. I was saying so too. There was no sarcasm in that answer. But like Vince said, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to bring a SEC team, a Texas school, a Pac-12 school in the middle of South Bend in the middle of December? Like those guys it's going to be instant, complaining. Like that they're not built to play in that. They don't play in it all season. They play the lowest they get to is what? Maybe like 60 degrees, 50 degrees, maybe. Right. And so it's like if you throw in 30, 20 degrees and a little bit of adverse weather, that's just another advantage that you have. And when you're talking about an entire season, you're talking about the playoff, you should be rewarded for your entirety of your work. And that's definitely an advantage that comes by being the home team for a playoff game. So I'm all for it. And there's no other side of the coin, in my opinion. There's nothing that can convince me otherwise.
I wasn't sure if he would say, well, it's a playoff game. It's a very important game. You don't want to play it in the cold and that kind of thing. Like Gene Smith at Ohio State, the athletic director down there last year, when it came up the first time, he said, I think we'd rather play like at Lucas Oil Field, in the dome. so that you don't have to get your field ready. He talked about all this different stuff. But then he came back this year and said, yeah, you know, on second thought, I would like to play at home. I think the question is going to – I favor it as well. Like, especially if you're Notre Dame, using Notre Dame as an example, because of what you said, they're never going to get a first-round bye in this new format. You know, and that's kind of the compromise that Jack Swarbrick had to make to get them to expand to 12, because he wanted it to be 12, so it gives Notre Dame greater access to the playoff. Well, part of this as well, if you're not going to get a bye, you're going to have to play first round games. And so if you've got a chance to play at home and have an advantage like that against a team from the South, you got to take it. What's going to be interesting, I think, is, you know, you've got the Big Ten and you've got Notre Dame, who aren't necessarily usually partners in much. Big 12, not a whole lot of teams up north, especially ones that are probably going to be making the playoffs. So my point is, will all these warmer weather conferences vote for something like this, knowing that maybe, you know, some of these teams up north, whether it's a Big Ten school or Notre Dame, could have an advantage like that? Would they want to, would they vote to do that? Would that be enough to keep them from voting it down? Because the other side of this is everyone who gets to host has a chance for more revenue out of the deal. So I think that'll probably go farther.
It'll be interesting to see, because Jack Swarbrick does have a lot of sway when it comes to these decisions. And so he's already made a gigantic concession by saying, hey, we don't even need a bye. You know, that's a huge concession. And if I'm him, I'm like, look, we already gave that up. We gave that to you. We gave you the first round bye. Has to be a conference champion. Okay, great. We at least get a home game.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry. I mean, again, he's got a lot of sway when it comes to this. He was involved in making this thing happen. I think he's going to have a lot of sway.
And I initially did not like, you know, the model that they're going to end up going to, you know, what we're talking about, the 12 teams, you know, basically just the exact format that they're going to end up going to when they do expand, because of the fact that Notre Dame was never going to get to be a top four. But again, when you look at it, when you go from four teams to eight teams, that's much greater opportunity. And like, if you're looking, what's a priority for Notre Dame? Long-term independence, right? And if that is your stated number one goal, to be able to remain independent, then you absolutely need this 12-team format. And that was a concession that's worth making if that's
absolutely
what your priority is.
Yep, no doubt.
I think a lot of people made a good point in the chat. There's a reason why Notre Dame always plays USC in October, and there's a reason why Notre Dame always goes to USC in the late last game of the season. In
November.
Because USC doesn't want to play in the cold. So,
well, they should have joined the Big Ten.
that's a subject for another day. We'll address that, because those two things are connected. If you're going to be playing in the Big Ten, you're going to be on the road some in November. If you can go on the road to Ohio State, basically anywhere in the Big Ten, if you can go on the road anywhere in the Big Ten
in November,
you can come to South Bend in
November. And, you watch the last game of the season. Well, no, it depends on what they do with Notre Dame, obviously, as far as USC is concerned. You watch that last game of the season. It's going to be UCLA and USC, last game of the season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That way they're guaranteed to be in California.
Yeah. You know what was interesting? When I talked to RJ Abadia, the USC guy, yesterday, he told me that because of this scheduling arrangement, you know, the every other November that USC and Stanford have with Notre Dame, have you ever noticed that USC and Stanford always play relatively early in September every year?
I did not.
It is because of the Pac-12 basically told them, well, if you want that weekend free, you know, Thanksgiving weekend every other year, you've got to play each other in September. That's like part of the deal. So, yeah, I found that very interesting. Yeah. The entire playoff is a money grab. I mean, that's ultimately why everyone else is expanding.
They're arguing between a top eight or a top 12. Yeah. It's all money, guys. It's all based on money.
Yeah. And it's already decided. So you might as well not even argue about whether it's going to be eight, because it's going to be 12. So fill in the blank. It's blank that Benjamin Morrison now has five interceptions in the last three games. Jesse, start us.
It's completely bonkers that Benjamin Morrison now has 5 interceptions in 3 games. And I'll tell you why, because it would be impressive if this was like any player, and more so like a 5th-year guy, a grad transfer guy, a guy that's been in the system for 3 or 4 years. He's got the experience under his belt. But no, he is making plays as a true freshman. This is a true freshman that had 3 interceptions in 1 game. And to me, that is the most impressive part about all of this. Is this is a freshman cornerback. This is you know, a first year in a defense. All of it. You take all of that combined, and then you start, you know, his performance has been well. But then when you start throwing in the cherries on top of interceptions, creating extra possessions for your offense, and he's just a freshman, that's what makes this bonkers to me. Is I just kept looking over to my friend on Saturday and saying, this is a true freshman. Like, this this isn't a grad transfer. This isn't a 4th-year guy. This is a true freshman that is just willingly taking the ball away from other teams. And quite frankly, I just don't understand why. Because once again, what success has been proven that throwing at him is going to accomplish you anything? I think literally it's just teams don't think he can continue to do it because he is so young. It's like, oh, well, we've seen him do it on tape, but he's got to mess up, right? He's young. He's due to mess up. He's not messing up, everyone. He's going to continue to make plays.
It's amazing. I mean, and frankly, it's stupidity on the part of defensive coordinators.
Yes.
I mean, period. What do you do? Why do you keep throwing at him? Why? 3 interceptions? You should have stopped throwing at him maybe after 2. Maybe. I don't know. But that's just, come on, guys. You got to be smarter than this. It's going to be very interesting. Again, USC is very deep. They're across the board, so I think all the DBs are going to get picked on to a degree at some point or another. But you can't possibly think, let's go after the true freshman. I mean, that can't be your game plan.
They threw at him on the very first play of the game. Like, that was a game plan. Find 20 and throw that direction. Of course, it's incomplete, and then a couple plays later, he gets the first of his 3 interceptions, and then he picks another, you know, like, what are you doing? Like, there's a very simple solution if you don't want the ball intercepted at this point. Because let's remember, you know, 2 interceptions against Clemson, 3 against Boston College. It was Navy in between. They passed more than they usually do, but they still don't pass that much. So it's like, if you're playing a real opponent, maybe he gets 1 or 2 more in between. And it's, the solution is simple. Stop throwing in his direction if you don't want it intercepted.
It's, right.
I don't know why it has to be that difficult, but
bigger question. And I hope maybe if it's later in the week, potentially just let me know. But what do we think about Morrison traveling with Addison? Do you think that's a thing, or you just kind of keep your defense with how it's been, just whoever lines up, who lines up? Or are you making a conscious effort to move Morrison around based on matchups?
It's not how they play defense. They play sides. Yeah. They're not going to shadow anybody. So you just stick with what you're doing. You build stay, boundary. You know, yeah.
Notre Dame now has won 28 games over ACC teams and 19 straight games in the month of November. Which is the bigger deal, Vince?
I think it's the November games because that's when it matters. Not that the entire season doesn't matter, because it does. I mean, we've seen it a million times. But if Notre Dame would have lost only to Ohio State, they'd be in the playoff right now, or they'd be in the conversation, right? And so the November games are what matters. When you lose late, it affects you more than if you lose early. And the ACC hasn't proven anything to me that they're a great conference as far as football is concerned. Maybe they're a little bit deeper than some of the other conferences, right? Maybe, you know, some of their middle teams are better than the middle teams of other conferences. Okay. But winning in November is way more important to me than just winning against ACC teams.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with Vince for a lot of the same reasons. Winning in November is far more important, especially when you're a team that is continuously going after college football playoff spots late in the season. It is most crucial that you end on a winning streak, because you get that momentum. You're showing the committee you have that momentum, and you just wait for someone else to fall down, right? Like, there's all these 1-loss, 2-loss teams in front of Notre Dame right now, and they just continue to win. And the more they lose, they're just going to continue to jump over people. And so in terms of finishing out a season and playing your best football, getting the highest ranking possible, it is obviously more important that the record in November is better. And if they win this week, you know, 20 wins, that's for you. You average about 4 games every November. That's 5 straight seasons of not losing in November. So I think that is a very, very good sign of where the football program has been, you know, over the years. And it's just a standard now, which is nice to see. They're always finishing the season on their best foot.
The 28 straight over ACC teams, that helps like pave your road to get into playoff contention at the end of the season. The 19 straight November, that punches your ticket into being in there, you know, and great teams win in November. That's basically what it comes down to. And especially when there is no December, unless you're in a bowl game for Notre Dame, you know, December, January, whatever it happens to be, you've got to finish it off in November. So I agree with everything you guys said. I don't have much more to add. It's about November, closing out the season strong. Mm-hmm. What did the old segment used to be, Vince? Finish strong. Just remember saying, those days?
I do. And we did every time.
We did. We did, baby. Roy Boy, yes, this is a Cowboys shirt. You can see the top of the star there. He says his nemesis, he's got the San Francisco 49ers. Well, your nemesis last year when you kicked our butts in the playoffs, but it has to give him credit for the butt kicking that they put on Minnesota yesterday. Speaking of which,
I say that's apropos right there.
Fair or foul, CBS cutting away from the Cowboys-Vikings game in the third quarter because the Cowboys were dominating the Vikings so badly. Jesse, you must have been watching live when it happened. So what did you think? What do you think?
I thought it was funny. I was actually watching on the ticket, so it didn't cut away for me. But it's basically if you were in a live CBS market, like, you know, that's the national game of the week that you got, then, yeah, they did cut you away to go to Steelers and Bengals. And I think it's completely fair. You know, when a game isn't – when it's national game of the week and a team is kicking another team's butt and it's clearly not a game and you have another game tied.
I heard they did this even in Dallas, though. I heard they did it in Dallas even. They cut away from the Cowboys game.
That's kind of crazy. Dallas market's foul. Every other market, fair. Because they just went to the game. You know, the Steelers had already beaten the Bengals twice. The Bengals are kind of reeling, trying to get back and win the division. It's a rivalry game. I think it's fair that they cut to it. I just think it's funny that Minnesota got dominated like that to the point that it was even an option that they could cut away from the game.
I don't remember them doing that very often. Well, part of the reason is NFL games aren't usually blowouts. So
right, you're not
really have
mopping up people like they did yesterday.
Right. So it's fair because – frankly, if I'm watching, if I am just an impartial fan, which I would have been in this case, right? I want to see good football. And if you're getting dominated, that's not a good football game. Now, if you're a Cowboy fan, it's good football because you want to see it, obviously.
Right. Ed says they didn't cut away in Dallas. Okay. That's just what I had heard. That's just what I had heard this
morning.
So there
you go. So yeah, I want the best game possible if I'm just watching football, right? So I think it's fair. I think they did the right thing. I was going to say foul for you, Sean, but sorry, I can't.
Yeah, you know, I was at a basketball game anyway, so I wasn't, you know, around when it happened. But I walk in and I'm thinking I'm going to – because I had a bunch of stuff to do because, you know, I've always got the game recording. I was going to come home. I didn't even have time to watch it, but I figured, well, I'll sit down and I'll at least watch the fourth quarter. And then I turned it on and I'm like, is it already over? They're showing the Steelers and the Bengals. What is this? And so – that was kind of that. If I was watching live, like, and I didn't and like the bigger question for me, because remember the whole thing with the ticket last week when the Bills Vikings game went overtime and it bled into the start of the Cowboys game. True. So they didn't show the start of the game. And then I go to the Sunday ticket channel and it won't let me watch it there because it's blacked out because it's supposed to be on national TV. So like they're going to flip this game in the national window. Would I have been able to go to my Sunday ticket channel and watch it? Probably not, based on what happened last week. So that would have really ticked me off. Because, look, if you were watching Notre Dame beat the snot out of Boston College Saturday night and you haven't got to see them, you know, beat up on teams a whole lot, plus it's a snow game and everything else, like, you know, maybe you decide you want to walk away, but maybe you decide you just want to relish it and watch it a little bit. That's where I would have been, and I would be ticked off if my game got preempted for a game that I don't care about a full quarter early. So
yeah, I mean, I watched it to the end. I relished all of the butt kicking that went on, especially after the collapse against the Packers the week before and all this hype around the Vikings. So I just enjoyed it because of what it was. You know, the Cowboys, just like Notre Dame, don't really blow out a lot of people, right? A lot of their games come down to the fourth quarter. A lot of you know, last second drives. And so to see them actually dominate a really good team was a breath of fresh air.
Yeah. Fill in the blank. Your favorite sports aspect of the Thanksgiving weekend is blank.
It's football all day on Thursday. I mean, there's only so much family I can handle. And I enjoy having that game on in the background. My father-in-law is obviously a Lions guy. True. So there's always his team on. So we always get to make fun of the Lions. So that's always fun. And there's been some decent matchups. And now, and then, you know, obviously the last few years they've added the Thursday night one as well, right? You know, there's three games, obviously. There's three games on. I love it, man. Bring on football. Bring on football and food. And I just love to sit there and fall asleep watching football.
My favorite aspect of Thanksgiving weekend, honestly, is the rivalry Saturday. I love all of the matchups. I love Auburn, Alabama. I love Michigan, Ohio State. I love, you know, USC, Notre Dame. There's usually large implications that go with a lot of these games. It always comes down to kind of determining these last, you know, who are the two last couple teams are going to be left in, left out of the college football playoff. And especially, you know, I know a lot of people would probably expect me to say Cowboys on Thanksgiving, which is obviously up there. I like to get my Thanksgiving meal in, take a little nap, have my leftovers for the Cowboys game. It's nice, you know, tradition. But Cowboys suck on Thanksgiving, it seems, as of recent. And it's been miserable to watch them on Thanksgiving. And I just don't want to do it anymore. I wish they didn't even play on Thanksgiving anymore, because it seems like I'm set up for failure every year.
Go ahead. Sorry. I'll let you finish.
I'm just more so looking forward to college football this year.
I'm with you, because I'm tired of being miserable on Thanksgiving.
It ruins my Thanksgiving.
With casual fans watching, and like, I care about what's going on in this game, and the Cowboys have just let us down. I don't know how many Thanksgivings in a row at this point. You know, remember the Raiders game on Thanksgiving last year?
That got blown out by Josh Allen on Thanksgiving.
There you go. 2 years ago. I'm tired of being
embarrassed
miserable.
By Cam Newton on Thanksgiving against the Panthers.
Let's see. Jesse's just going to rattle them all off. And
this Giants game feels like a trap game, considering they're 7-3.
I don't want it.
There's a wild card spot.
I suppose it's good, because I'll be in the Bahamas, and the women's basketball team is playing at the same time as the Cowboys game. So I don't even know if we're going to get TV down there, you know, what kind of TV.
Is there football down in the Bahamas? Is that a thing?
And if we get it, I'll probably get to watch the fourth quarter at best. The Leon Lett game. Jesse's too young for that one.
I think you are banned from watching games, considering you missed the Vikings game, and that's the outcome that we got.
Here's a question Timothy had, little bonus question. Is Braden Lindsay good enough for the NFL but has just had bad quarterback play?
He could make a roster with that speed.
Absolutely.
He could definitely make a training camp roster, get his opportunity. And if that's the case he wants to make, well, guess what? NFL quarterbacks are a lot better. So show what you can do. Use that speed. I think he's definitely got a shot. It's just a matter of what he does with the shot, because he's got the speed to play in the NFL, and that's half the battle.
I don't have any more to add to that. I think that's exactly right. Yep. He's got the speed to at least, you know, even if he doesn't get drafted, you know, and he does have another year. He does have a year of eligibility remaining.
That's true. And they could use him. I mean, they could definitely use him. There's no doubt about that. They could use him. They'll ask him back. I almost guarantee it.
But I mean, he can, with the speed that he has, you know, he's not going to get to go probably, you know, down to the combine, unless he comes back for another year and you know, gets an invite to the, he definitely, the combination of everything has played against him this year, you know, like the quarterback play, you know, all these different things that, you know, there's some different things at play. But I think that, I think that with the speed that he's got, you know, he has a good pro day. He's got a chance to at least, you know, get an invite, or, you know, get a non-drafted free agent sign after the draft, that kind of thing, get into a camp.
I've got a question for you guys off the cuff. You ready?
Okay.
Former Notre Dame wide receiver Chris Fink was at the LSU game on Saturday, as opposed to being at senior day for Notre Dame football.
Man,
fair or foul? He put this on his Twitter account. Fair or foul that the Holtz's Heroes Foundation Twitter account replied, "Et tu, Brute?"
And I think I know who runs the Holtz's Heroes Twitter.
I think team. I do too.
So I am with him. I am with him on that. You cannot come on. You can't show up at LSU. Come on.
Brutal. Brutal. You got an opportunity to go to a college football game and you're going to LSU as opposed to your alma mater on senior day? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Et tu, Brute.
Guys, great one tonight. We covered a lot, I think.
Yeah, we did.
Feel good about it.
That's right, because we got no show tomorrow. So
that's right.
We got to make sure we bring the heat today.
So the rest of the week, we have no idea what it's going to look like. Oh, Jesse, where did he go? There he is. He's back. He was out and in. Excuse me. Rest of the week, we don't know exactly what it's going to look like. We do know there will not be an IB Nation Sports Talk tomorrow. There will be a college football playoff ranking show.
I'm not sure what time, because I'm not sure what time the show, the rankings come out.
Right. So. And Brian's going to have his regular show. You know, they're going to do the other shows during the day. Thanksgiving. You know, I know Brian was talking about doing a pre-recorded show to air on Thanksgiving. You know, some people might be getting you might get in the Derek doghouse, you know, like if you're listening to IB on Thanksgiving Day. I don't know, but I mean, it's good for us. But, you know, I think what we're talking about, if my internet cooperates, we might do a mailbag on Wednesday, and we're talking about maybe a rapid fire, just a rapid fire only show on Friday that we would put out before countdown Saturday morning.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
As long as we're not recording it or going live during the men's soccer game at 1 o'clock, Sean, USA.
This is once in every 4 years.
Well, and if you're in the United States, it's one every 8 years.
Yeah. Maybe we need to plan on noon would be our goal and be done by then.
I know, right?
Big match after the draw today. Got to be England.
Right.
Brutal.
Because if we do it, it's going to be all, you know, pretty much geared up for USC and that whole thing.
I'm excited.
So, yeah. All right. Well, everybody have a great Thanksgiving. If we don't talk to you before then, there's a chance. But again, I'm leaving, you know. Call it a humble brag if you want, for the Bahamas in the morning for the women's basketball. And we're going to be down there until Sunday. We're not coming back till Sunday. So, Joe with a super chat. Happy Thanksgiving, fellas. Thankful for the Irish and IB Nation.
Thanks, Joe.
For you guys as well. We'll wrap it up on that. Jess, Vince, we'll talk to you later. Happy Thanksgiving again. If we don't talk to you, IB Nation Sports Talk.